ahead.
Okay. All right, can all commissioners see and hear?
Yes.
All right, can all members of the public see and hear? Excellent. This meeting is being recorded. Once President Brooks asks me to call the roll, indicate you are here, as well as give permission to record by verbally stating, here, permission to record. Lisa?
Okay, I call the April 6, 2021 Committee of the Whole meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and open time. Member Boren is absent. Member Colby?
Here, permission to record.
Member Ludden?
Here, permission to record. And I would point out it looks like... Oh, never mind.
Member Underdog?
Here, permission to record.
Chair Brooks?
Here, permission to record.
All right.
It is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advice. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 2 minutes per person. I believe that there's nobody for that. So we will move on to the employee survey results and a review of that. Lisa Shepherd will lead the discussion.
Excellent. As you saw in your packet, we conducted a survey of all full and part-time staff in mid-March. By part-time staff, we mean any staff that are currently working now, so that includes WATS staff, includes all Children's Circle, any other permanent part-time and part-time staff that are currently working now. So we will do a similar survey like we usually do in the summer for our seasonal beach and day camp staff. The staff are given 2 weeks with reminders to fill out the survey, and we had a return rate of 56%, which is very, very good return rate and is accurate. Other respondents, 78% of all full-time staff and 49% of all part-time staff completed the survey. So we have 45 full-time staff members and 54 part-time staff filling out the survey. When you read through the survey, and I'm not going to go through the survey in detail, I'm assuming you read it and that I'll be able to answer any questions, but we had, you'll see employees overwhelmingly selected strongly or agree throughout the survey. And in normal years, non-pandemic years, that could be considered quite good, so we really had amazing results. Our goal was to for a 90% rating of strongly agree, and so we put down different areas of focus, how we can improve some of those scores that are in their 80s. We did notice that we need to put a greater focus on communication between departments. We are not surprised by that because during the pandemic the last year, we have not allowed staff to interact and go with different departments. And so we know that that's lacking this year. We have to build that back up. And with new staff coming in, they probably have no contact with other parts, other teams and other divisions in the district. So if you see when you went through it, we made comments, we gave a summary of the comments, and then area for focus. We didn't get solutions yet because we're going back to our teams, both full and part-time, to develop solutions together. In some of the areas, such as communication as far as silos, we're going to go back and actually do a deeper dive, do some focus groups to see exactly what kind of communication the staff is looking for us to improve on. So those will all be put in as part of our goals for this year. So with that said, does anybody have any questions or comments?
So we have not
done this particular survey with these particular questions. We added some different ones, but we will do it yearly and benchmark year-to-year using the same question. If we have certain areas of concentration, like it may be a different year or something happening in the country, we may add questions, but we're going to keep the core survey the same.
Thank you.
A couple of comments and questions, Lisa.
Sure.
First, I think it's clear that the vast majority of the staff is very happy, and the results make that clear. So you and your team should be proud of that. So without forgetting that, there were a couple of areas that jumped out at me as being of concern. concern, you articulated communication between staff as being one of those. I would definitely probably not take the one recommendation of copying everybody on every email, but you'll find other ways to fix that. Two other areas I'd like you to comment on, though. There were several comments about racist or homophobic comments or preferences for white staff. I know that you're not going to want to comment on individual cases here, but I do want to just say in the strongest possible terms that you need to root that out and make sure that that is not part of the culture of the park district.
Yep. I agree with you, Josh. It was one comment. So you have to understand that all the staff that did, there was one person that said that. Do not, this is a very confidential survey. We have no idea who said it, but we are going to look at, we don't feel there's a systemic problem. But with that said, we also set up an idea committee, as you're aware, we sent it out to continue to work and improve. And so that will be the start of our education. I feel strongly that we have to advocate as community leaders on all diversity issues, so not just race, but also LGBTQ. And so what's nice about the diversity committee is they're doing safe zone conversations, which really allows people to discuss and learn in a very safe
daycare has to meet all of its direct and indirect expenses. And while we would like to give everybody who wants insurance, that's a very large expense. So in order to do that for all staff, we would have to raise our fees up to cover those costs. So we will continue to look at ways that we can possibly add physicians or if we can financially afford that. But this time we have the physicians that we're able to afford to pay the benefits. So. And I think that's really where they feel the disrespect is. They went into this career and they want more money for that. But I believe that with the strides we've made in the last really 8 years and the pay in that industry, we are paying what the industry standard is, if not above that.
Thank you. I yield the floor.
Lisa, I'm going to echo what Josh said. The results are really, really good, and I'm thrilled that we're going to use this as a baseline. A couple questions, though, and you know, was this survey done before or after the bonuses were, before or after any bonuses were given?
They were given around the same time, so some maybe have had the review and some may have not.
Okay, I recommend that you do this sort of before the bonuses, if you ever do bonuses. It simply helps have a fresher mind. Sometimes people get different thoughts after different experiences. But I will echo what Josh said again. The results were really, really good. I saw the comments that Josh was talking about, and the comments are where you get a lot of the juice out of these things and a lot of the information. But you're right, it's not prevailing, and so that made me feel good. There were a few on age as well. Some older people feeling like the younger people may be more to know something, but I think that you're going to see that in the results. I want to just ask a couple quick questions on 6 and 7. So when it comes to 6, which I found really interesting, treated with courtesy, respect, and dignity by my coworkers, most people, like 47%, strongly agree. It's phenomenal. And you had only like 10% disagree, which is probably normal. But it was the juxtaposition of, hey, you know, about half the people, 47% of people felt like they were treated courteous, respectful, and discriminated by the coworkers, to the next question of, hey, are you feeling fair, are you being treated fairly because of race, gender, age, ethnicity, or background? That kind of plunged by 10 points from the strong agree. It went from like 46 or 47% down to 37%. And I think that's probably something that, even though we saw one or two comments on, that to me was a striking difference. So I agree with Josh that there probably needs to, you know, something probably, and I don't know the answer to it, but, you know, people feel like they're not being treated fairly because of, you know, something that, you know, who they are. That to me seems like something that should be, or could be addressed. I don't know how, but it could be addressed.
I totally agree with you. That's why we put, I believe, under that, under the comments, we put areas of focus was to utilize our Inclusion, Diversity, and Equity Accessibility Committee to move, to have a path forward, because we noticed the same thing, that we'd like to work on that, and then evaluate recruitment avenues to diversify our candidate pool. We noticed that. So those are areas of focus for us, and then we're going to work with our teams to figure out the best ways to achieve those goals.
Yeah, it may be interesting thing to consider. I know we have this at our company, and I don't know if other companies have it. We have someone who and I saw one of the questions was, do you want to be on a committee sort of later on? But a diversity committee may help out at some point as well.
Well, that's what that idea committee is, so.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It's called Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Acceptance Committee.
Perfect. The DEI committee, I think, is the way to go, so I really appreciate that. Second comment on F3 is I also understand the biggest lift that I think you guys have is with communications, but it's really hard to communicate to everyone all the time. No matter who you are, no matter what company you work for, you're going to feel out of the loop at some point. So I know that one was a kind of in the 70s, I think. I would not take that as a, oh my God, this is at the end of the world. But it is an opportunity to think about, you know, do we record our monthly meetings to let people, you know, who can't come, have it accessible? You know, do we have a cadence of, you know, directors talk with their direct reports once a month, once a quarter, you know, something like that, I think would, could help out with it. But I'm not overall disappointed with the percentage. I think that's a constant issue that companies have. So I didn't want you to, as we read this, I didn't want you to think, oh my God, this is a huge issue. I don't think it is.
No, but something definitely we can explore, and that's definitely why we want to do, we purposely put in our areas of focus to do focus groups in this area to find out exactly what, because we don't know if they, do you want a Friday update like I send the board, do you want, they have access to board packets and they know when those go out, but maybe we can get it out in a different way. So we're going to explore that, we're going to ask those questions of our staff to figure out what that is.
Perfect. My third comment is that I think there's a question missing that, you know, whoever, first of all, the questions are really, really good. There's a question that you may want to consider adding, which is sort of the net promoter question. How likely are you to recommend someone to work at the Glencoe Park District? Because what that tells you is really just overall, how happy are you with everything? You know, there's some companies with their call center representatives say, you know, at the end of the survey, they ask the one question survey, which is, you know, how, if you had a company like ours, how likely would you be to hire the person you spoke with? Kind of get that all-encompassing feeling. So I think a question like that could be of value. How likely do you recommend to find the one here?
Sure.
And then lastly, I think this is actually fourth. I'm surprised you guys did strongly disagree to strongly agree. Why didn't we do 1 through 10?
You know, we actually debated back and forth how to rate it, and we found most the employee surveys have the strongly agree to agree.
Got it. I'm the only one I've done in my office is 1 through 10. It's nice that you can get that kind of, you can cut it a little bit more if there's, there's 10 different answers as opposed to 4, so you can kind of see the way things move a little bit more. But look, you guys should be really proud of the way that you're running the organization, but I think overall this is, you know, 95% of what I ran was awesome. And usually the people who filled it out, you know, only 60% of your team filled it out. You know, the 40% that are probably the active and not filled it out. That's okay because it happens year over year over year, but it's different.
Make a very quick comment. Oh, go ahead, Dudley. Sorry, go ahead. Oops.
Am I on?
Now you are.
Yes, okay. I just wanted to ask, Lisa, might be helpful to touch base a little bit on the training programs that you do. You do a lot with the state and national association. I know folks are probably zoomed out on training, but it'd be nice to kind of just touch on that. It was an area where many people wanted to do more.
Oh, yeah. We offer a lot of trainings opportunities through Illinois Park and Recreation Association, NRPA, National Park and Recreation Association. There's a women's group with Women's and Leisure Services that's been doing a lot of training. Suburban Park and Recreation Association, Perderma. There's been a lot of opportunities for training this year, and they are available through Zoom. And then our early childhood division, they're required to do separate training to keep their certification, so that those are offered through many different opportunities.
Are those through the community colleges or through private firms?
Jessica, can you speak to the early childhood?
A little bit of both. You can find webinars pretty much anywhere. They just have to be Gateways approved, which is through NCRR, the DCFS partnership.
So people do, we encourage, and most of our staff are certified, and so they're required to do necessary CEUs every year. One thing we did identify is that we have to do a better job of onboarding our staff, both when they come to the district, more streamlined. We do a good job, but more streamlined, and then if they get promoted to another position. So that's something we're going to look at over the next couple years. As the new position, Carol's the finance director, gets comfortable with the job, that'll be one of their tasks to look, and Liz, to look on at our onboarding, how we can do it maybe more electronically so people have the opportunity to do different trainings that we require in our district. So that's another thing we're looking at.
Okay, thank you.
I'll just say yes, everybody made very salient comments, agree with everything. I really like Michael's suggestion of the would you recommend to someone that they join the Glencoe Park District as an employee or be hired by. I thought that was a really good idea, although I will say, Michael, you presumed that the comment about feeling marginalized because of age was because the person was young. I thought it was because the person was older. So isn't
yeah.
that in
no, yeah.
You know, there we go.
And again, it was
an older person who I think thought the younger person understood more
yeah.
something.
Okay.
And again, it was one.
I just very quickly, I will say something that we all have to consider is that this is an industry, if we're talking about a large group of our employees, they work in early child care, and child care, that's an industry that is remarkably, we have to understand it's not a very well-paid industry, and there is a lack of respect for that work, not
among us,
we respect them very highly, but it tends to be that industry. People feel that, and that's reflected in this. So there's some things that you may not be able to overcome. There is, I guess, I'm reading a bit of a silo between ELC and Children's Circle, where one group feels they're not quite as well respected by the other group as they should be. You know, those are things to work on and to try to foster better communications between the two. That's the vibe I got off of that. But in general, I think it's a really good management tool. The results reflect a happy home. So I like that you're immediately digging in and thinking of things you can do, and that's the best, most we can ask of you. And good. Well done.
Yep, and believe me, we actually had that question on the survey, and we took it off because we were trying to make it so that people, if you put too many questions, put everything on there, people don't fill it out. So we decided instead to put, I'm proud to work for the Glencoe Park District, which just kind of has the same feeling. But we can definitely add that next year. That's not a problem.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else on
on this, or okay?
No. So the next one we're going to talk about is early childhood department structure, and ironically, it kind of segues perfectly from the survey into this. Now, this is not some. This is something that Jess and Bobby and Amanda, they've been talking about some changes in children's circle department structure for a while now, and the survey kind of backed up some of the need to do that. So. Thought it was very timely to bring this. We don't need action from the board. We're not adding any full-time positions in this, but we're just going to show you exactly what we're doing in this department, just for your knowledge base. So I'm going to throw it over to Jessica, I believe.
So this is something that I brought to Bobby, Lisa, and Carol, but just the intent of this proposal is to create sustainability within our wing. As someone just said, early childhood is quite a large part of the park district. So our current organizational chart, just within early childhood, the manager, who is currently me, I oversee the enrichment teachers, the full-time teachers from Children's Circle, the part-time teachers from Children's Circle, the classroom coordinator, the early childhood supervisor, who oversees the ELC and camp staff, and then three non-teaching staff, which are our cook and our two front desk associates.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when looking at what structure would be best for our school, we did look into other schools and how they function. So this is the Bright Horizons in Northbrook that's on Technique. So they have a director, an assistant director, two education coordinators, which is a typical position in early childhood. They have a total of 26 teachers and one cook. Their organizational chart is messy. It's basically whoever's in the office is who you report to, which is very typical in child care settings. Gertrude B. Nelson, which is in Northbrook. They have their executive director, and then they have basically an office staff of program coordinators, HR, and business. Their lead teachers actually oversee their assistant teachers, so each lead teacher oversees 2 to 3 assistants. So when we started looking, like Lisa said, we're not asking for another position. One of the things we looked into is we currently have 2 full-time staff in our infant room. And kind of just looking at the history of that, this August, we're hitting 5 years since we opened that program. And I think when it first opened, it was a great place to put that resource. And now we're looking to use that resource in another manner. So with this, the major change would be there will be a second classroom coordinator. One would be for infants and toddlers, and one would be for pre-K. So basically split Children's Circle into 2 different groups of 3 classrooms. And they would take over overseeing our part-time assistant teachers. So there are a lot of strengths with this, but just obviously dispersing the number of direct reports and creating sustainability. Our wing does function a bit differently because we are DCSS licensed. A director has to be on site as long as the school is open. So, you know, using our leadership in a more efficient manner is what we're looking to do. We're hoping that it leads to higher retention rates among our part-time staff because they will have a manager above them that does not have as many direct reports and can spend more time on the onboarding and training. Weaknesses, obviously right now, everything in the early childhood wing goes through me, so it is going to be a change and a shift for people. We understand that change is always hard, and in terms of like confusion at first of who reports to who and things like that, but these are all things that we've looked into and are putting in structures in place so that we can get to them before they become barriers for us. The opportunities, more effective managers. Obviously, if you have less direct reports, when doing the research for this proposal, most of the articles I read said to be an effective manager, you have to spend at least 1 hour on each direct report a week, which I currently have 47 direct reports, so that's just impossible. strong early childhood staff, I feel like we're in a place to take a next step with our staff and really delve deeply into early childhood philosophy, and then again taking that into a training program. The threats, obviously we're going to see a minimum wage increase, and similar to what was said in the survey, child care workers, that is typically what they make. I think this is a threat that we are seeing no matter the structure of our wing. So the financial impact, we would be looking again to promote one of our current lead teachers to the classroom coordinator position. So they would look at a wage increase for that promotion and taking on additional responsibilities. We would see a decrease in substitutes. Right now, with our current classroom coordinator, we have seen that she is able to step into the classroom for those last-minute absences, and we call on subs much less. And then the office supplies part would be setting them up with an iPad or a work phone, because the classroom coordinators do all initial contact with potential hires. So this goes into a great detailed list of the classroom coordinator responsibilities, but these are all things that have to be done that currently fall between Amanda and I, that they can take on and spend, you know, more time and diligence on. The transitionary period, this is an estimate. We're going to take our time, make sure that our staff are on board, and again, if we hit barriers along the way, adjust the plan as needed. So just an overview for staff. They would get a higher level of training, more supervision, and we hope that leads to less turnover. For the children, of course, less turnover in staff, it leads to healthier attachment. And then just better training leads to more appropriate practices and activities in their classrooms. And then for the park district, just making, again, the wing more sustainable with multiple leadership staff that can take over if the structure were to change.
Thank you, Jessica. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Comment. I thought this sounds very good, the span of control for the early childhood manager. I don't know how she could handle so many people reporting directly to her. It's just like too much.
Yeah, that's what we saw too. Yeah. So
way too much.
It's grown, the program's grown so much it makes it, you know, unsustainable for one person. So
it is worth noting we grew the program 50% I think 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And knowing that we were going to have to reevaluate, and COVID kind of pushed that back a little bit.
Yeah.
This is not going to be this is the start, not the end. I think
Right.
there's a lot more work to do. Myself and Jess work closely on staff retention, staff development, improving the program. So we got a lot of really good ideas, but it's going to take time.
Also, just to reiterate, this is a very small impact on the budget, if any. Is that right?
Correct.
We're not adding any full-time staff. We'll do a pay bump for the coordinator, but so, right. And then we'll consider to evaluate any potential addition of other staff as we move forward and what our budget can sustain.
Two questions for you guys. One, so the early childhood manager is still going to have 23 direct reports. That, to me, seems, I think if you're doing this as an interim step, I'd like you guys to flush it out and see what their long-term goal on it, because if you truly believe that a manager should be spending an hour with their employee a week, that's still not possible with this. So I don't know if this is an interim step and you kind of have a long-term step, or if this is just kind of, hey, at least it's better than what we have today. But I do think you should probably think about the long-term as you're doing this? And I don't, is that something you guys have considered, what the long term is?
Yeah. So, as Bobby just said, this is the first step to reorganization. We'll adjust and evaluate as we go. For preschool, if they're only there half a day, is it really too much for Amanda? We'll just continue to evaluate that and see how that goes.
Yeah, well, I would have thought there would have been a concerted effort to have, like, you know, you've got early childhood manager. I would have thought there would have been, like, a children's circle manager and then a ELC manager under that, and those guys can do it in sort of a long-term. Because I don't think this is, I think this is better, but I don't think this is sustainable either. 23 direct reports. I granted, you know, 23, they're all full-time, right? I mean, it's not like you're having, you just kind of push the partner anyway. I like it, but I think I'd like for you guys to see, I'd like to see what your thoughts are on sort of phase two at some point so we can kind of do the whole picture. That is one thought. And the other question I have for you, and Jessica, you may know this best, or Bobby, is your turnover consistent with the Bright Horizons of the world and the other? It is?
Yes. I would say we retain our part-time staff a bit longer than the other schools I've been at.
So if that's the case and you're going to not like one enough to stay here, I wouldn't use that as a reason to reorganize. Because if you guys don't have that problem, reorganizing is not going to solve a problem that you guys already do better than others. I think the real issue here is, you know, quite frankly, 10 people for one person is a daunting number, let alone 23, let alone 30. And I fully support what you guys want to do on this, but I think it's more of a managerial and probably a little bit of a sanity for the early childhood manager, who I think is that Amanda, is that
correct? That's me.
Oh, it's you?
It is, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like your sanity is okay, we'll talk about you then. I mean, for your sanity, having, you know, 30 direct reports is not the way to go. So I fully support it, but I would like to see what your long-term looks like.
Yeah, we're working on it, so obviously we want to work on it before we present anything public.
Yeah, and this is, and again, this is we're just giving you an overview. Didn't want you really to dive into the weeds, because we're taking recommendations of Jessica and Amanda, who are working daily in there and making those recommendations to Bobby and I. So, like we said, we'll keep on evaluating, and if we have to make more additional changes because they don't think it's sustainable, then we will definitely look at that.
Is there any ELC can be taxpayer supported, but not, right?
Yes, if you remember the categories of service, Children's Circle has to meet all of its direct and indirect expenses. Pretty much we operate ELC that way also, but it's not mandated by the board, but it pretty much does.
And that to me would make sense to have sort of, you know, early childhood manager and have a ELC manager and have a...
We like to have one, like, because we used to have it that way, we like to have continuity between the two programs. So that's why Jessica heads over both of them and then has a supervisor underneath there. So we want to make sure we keep that continuity so that one program is not different than the other.
No, sorry. Let me make sure I make this clear. I think the world of Jessica, incredibly talented and done a great job with it. I would probably think about underneath Jessica having, you know, again, because I think 10 people go off. I
mean,
but that's my thoughts. Anyway, you guys
are
taking a step in
the
direction.
Yeah.
Thank you for your input on that. Was helpful and interesting, Jessica. And I do through this whole time of the pandemic felt like I don't know how they're doing it, because you're not just managing things, you're constantly adapting to these new rules, and you know, anything that we can do that you think would be supportive for Children's Circle and ELC, you know, do not hesitate to bring that to Lisa and to Bobby. So
thank you.
Okay, if there is nothing else on that, and I believe there is not, okay, thank you so much. We will move to the discussion of the date for rescheduled fireworks, and Lisa and Bobby will lead that discussion.
All right. As you're well aware, the board chose not to do the fireworks on the 4th of July, and now we're running up to a date that we have to decide when we would like to reschedule. There's always an option. You can say, no, we're not feeling comfortable scheduling at all this year. We would just lose half our deposit. That goes away. So staff is recommending if we reschedule them that we do it over Labor Day weekend. Okay, and this is really a board decision. We can make any of these work. We just want to lay out all the different scenarios for you. So first off, is that we can get a barge for any day but July 4th. So we can never get a barge on July 4th, but we could get one on either of these days in Labor Day. So we're putting that out there. So the pros of a barge would be patrons could sit on the beach and watch the fireworks show. The past patrons have commented how much they like that, but be aware that the fireworks show changes. The barge has to go pretty far out, so no matter what shells you get, it's not right over your head like it was in Lakefront. And if everybody's fine with that, so are we. It's easier to clean up on the beach. Obviously, the debris goes into the lake, and the beach would be open all day if we did that scenario. Cons would be, I said, they wouldn't be as close, plus the expectation of in the future on July 4th you would have a barge, which we know is not possible. We can get a barge on July 3rd, we can get one on the 5th, we cannot get one on the 4th. So when you're choosing your date, you have to look in a couple of scenarios. So if we hold the fireworks on Friday, September 3rd, the pros are the beach is not open for our regular season, which means that anybody from Glencoe, actually non-residents too, could go down to the beach and save a spot for fireworks if we have it on the barge. Another one is guests can come right after work. If they're tending to go out of town for the weekend, they could choose to stay Friday and then still go away for the weekend if they wanted to. Less overtime staff, and can't emphasize that enough. If we do it on Sunday, you have double time, and then there's double time plus for Monday for the cleanup. So that's considerable. The cons is if it's a warm day, people may be upset because they could not have access to the beach if we don't use a barge. But we do that for 4th of July, so whichever. If we hold the fireworks on Sunday, September 5th, pros are more patrons would be off work and could be an all-day celebration, which could be a pro or a con in COVID world. Cons is we would have the beach closed for the entire day of a holiday if we shot off the beach. And then another con is non-season pass holders would not be able to access the beach until 7 p.m. if we shot them off the barge, because we already said it's season pass holders only on holidays. So that means when we close our regular operation at 7, people would have the opportunity to then go down to the beach if there's room. So there's a chance, we don't know what regulations we are in, if there's room on the beach. So that's what we can. And we talked about the cons of more expense because we would be expected to add more entertainment all day if we did it on a Sunday as opposed to a Friday night where we could probably get away with one band and food trucks or something like that, where if we did it all day, people may look for all day celebrations. So those are some of the kinds of pros and cons we thought. We still don't know what's going to happen with mitigation. Numbers, it seems like it's opening up, and we assume it's going to open up by September a little bit more, but it may not at that point too. So I wanted to throw that out to you for discussion to decide what we're going to do. So any comments, discussion?
Question?
Yep.
Go ahead,
question?
Yes, go ahead.
If we were to restrict people to up on top of the bluff, would you have little circles for each family pod, or how would you handle that?
It really would totally depend on what I guess the rules are for community gatherings at that time. So if we're back to five phase normal, we would do nothing new. If we're allowed 3 feet between, we could do circles. And again, that's very labor intensive, and those circles stay for a couple weeks. But we have done that for like movie in the park, and for example. So we could do that. We could not draw circles on the sand. So that's just kind of...
Well, it's very...
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Well, and when's your deadline for the decision? When do you really need to know?
This week.
Tomorrow.
They really want to know. Yeah.
Okay.
They want to know. We need a book. Just so you know, Glenview Park District has chosen to do fireworks on the 4th of July. I believe Naperville. That's because they shoot them off in big fields, so they have plenty of room to spread out.
It's a really big space.
Yeah.
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 As far as you know, the other North Shore communities have made no plans for fireworks as of yet.
Correct. I believe that's what the directors are saying as of this point right now. And they have to make decisions just like us. So I know in the North Shore, Glenview was the only one that was doing them at this point on the 4th of July. Now, they were all talking about doing it later in the summer.
But we don't know.
But they have not made a decision yet either. They're probably having the same discussions with their boards as we speak. So,
now, is there the opportunity to do a bit of a hybrid on one of the options? That is, you have the fireworks on the beach, but have it on Friday, September 3rd?
Yeah, that's one of the options. Yeah, we could do that. I would just throw out the options. You could have it either. We gave the options for either a Friday night or Sunday. So yes.
Without the barge.
Yes. Or yeah. So if you want to do
closed for the day, well, as they set up, it will be closed from 6 a.m. all day. So if you had a really hot Friday of a long weekend, people might be unhappy that the beach is closed.
Just like they are for the 4th of July, they're really angry on the 4th of July. So it'd be the same kind of.
But at least it's something they're used to.
At least it's a Friday, yeah.
And at least it's a Friday. Again, Lisa, I am also concerned that if we do the barge, people will then say, oh, good, finally, back to the barge. And that's like, no, it's a one-time thing.
Yeah. Well, you could change it and say, well, if you want the barge, then we have to do the fireworks on July 3rd or July 5th. I mean, that's the option moving forward.
What is the cost difference between the barge and the beach?
Approximately $13,000. And the village may be willing to split it with us, but they have not talked to their board yet. So.
Okay, I'll give you my 2 cents.
Okay.
And then you guys can all beat it up or agree with it. I think doing it on Friday is subpar because so many people will be working Friday. The stock market's open, the banks are open, it's not a holiday, and I think, people wake up early Friday morning, like at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. to go to work, and then by the time Friday noon rolls around, after a week, they're kind of spent. So I would strongly prefer not Friday. I think the kind of concept that if you were to have it on Friday and you can go out of town for, Saturday through Monday, you sort of have that with July 4th, when July 4th holds on a weekend, so I don't think that's a con so much if people don't want to, they don't stay. So I do prefer Sunday. I think it also, lets people have Monday to kind of recover from it a little bit. So my first vote would be for Sunday. My second I hear you, Lisa Brooks, and I actually agree that there are some people that are going to have an expectation of a barge. But hands down, a barge is like exponentially better for viewing. There's always a tree in the way. I, for one, don't know about you, but I remember 1 year, some of the debris from the fireworks actually fell on the park because of the wind, and it was, not pleasant. So I prefer, I think the barge is probably the way to go, and if we can get a barge, I would do that. But I like W's idea of a hybrid. I don't think if we do a Sunday night barge, that we are obligated to do a full day festivities on that Sunday. I think we could probably limit it to Sunday evening. I think you'll find people will probably do barbecues or things like that, and then, you know, see the fireworks that evening. So, and I'm also not really that worried about the expense of it. We've saved on 2 years of not having July 4th, so I think, you know, we could put a little extra into this one. And the timing is probably going to be right for an outside gathering. And if people don't feel comfortable with outside gathering, they just don't have to go. I think it's going to be really tough, like you said, Lisa Shepherd, to enforce, you know, 6 foot social distancing. If the enforcements are really that tough, at that point, you know, we can deal with it later. But, you know, my suggestion would be, I'll throw it out there, I think Sunday rather than Friday, I think a barge rather than
Okay, Josh, you have some thoughts on the fireworks?
Could not do it around the 4th of July, although I'm optimistic about the vaccination. I just think there still might be a fair number of people not vaccinated. That's not what staff's recommending, but that was one of the options they put on the table, so I'll just say I agree with staff that I would not do it then. I wouldn't frankly miss it if we just pushed it off a year with the excuse of the pandemic and say we just want to be sure. If other commissioners feel really strongly that we should do it, unfortunately, Michael, I like the Friday night idea a lot better.
You did.
Yeah, and like one of the benefits of doing it in September versus July is it will be dark sooner.
Yeah.
And so like one of the things I hate about the 4th of July is you're like, well, it's 9:10, come on, get dark.
Josh, for the record, I prefer Sunday. I'm not saying Friday's a bad evening.
Okay.
I think if you do it on Friday, I do think you'll find the majority of people will have had it's the first week back at school. People are getting tired of Friday. I think Sunday kind of gets people like flattened up, but...
Fair enough. I guess I'm kind of indifferent about the barge or not. So I just will plead no opinion on that.
Dudley, what do you think?
I kind of like the Friday concept. This is kind of like a question. How do you deal with the uncertainty? And probably the most conservative approach that I can come up with, of course, other than not doing it at all, would be to have it on Friday, to not use the barge, use that as our model. I do think that because it gets darker earlier, it's not so bad for people, and I like the idea of having the beach open for the 2 days over the weekend. That accessibility is really nice. Actually, 3 days over the weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, so I actually am not quite as, do not share Michael's optimism for the end of the summer, just because children I know probably will not be vaccinated. And I wonder how many people are going to want to have their children in a large group around Labor Day before school starts. Have no idea. Who knows? I don't know. But I probably would have suggested scrap it and really have a great celebration next year. But I feel that the board is sort of likes the idea of doing something. And if that's the case, I think the least expensive option would be Friday. Doing the fireworks on the beach, closing it just for that one day. It is like a work school day, so maybe it won't be that bad to close the beach that day. And it would be less expensive for employees, for our employee costs as well. So I guess I would pile on to the Friday option. And I did talk to Stephanie briefly before the meeting and asked her to weigh in, and she said she was fine with she was fine with the idea of Friday on the beach as well. So, I mean, I think that's probably, unless people aren't saying what they really think, I think that's probably the consensus opinion. Uh-oh, Michael.
I'm telling you, as a parent, Friday nights are really, really tough. And I know the three of you don't have school age or you know, not 7, 8, 9 year olds. To wake the kids up at sort of 7 a.m. to get them to camp and whatever they're doing, and then pick them up that night, I think it's a tough thing. I know on July 4th, like, when I want to do the fun run, we don't do the fun run in the morning sometimes because we know it's going to be a long day. So I think that the viewpoints you guys have are probably right from your perspective, but I think it's tough on parents. Friday is the week the kids are spent from the week. It is a school day, or not school day, it's a camp day.
It's either school or camp.
It's camp.
Oh, it is.
You've never seen the kids at the undernighters or the overnighters. They have plenty of energy.
It's the first week of school. School starts that week. So I do feel strongly that I think Sunday is better. Obviously, I'm outvoted here if you guys want Friday, but I'll go on the record saying that Sunday is the right day to do it. During the Monday off, that Saturday off, I think
they also have the Tuesday, just so you know, they also have the Tuesday off for Rosh Hashanah, just FYI.
So it's the start of a long holiday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you might find a lot more people out of town.
Yeah.
Also true.
Also true,
yeah.
The way isn't the end of the world to have less people there.
True.
Oh. So we have, Michael, if I may just put a pin in the Friday-Sunday question for a moment. Before we debate that, I just want to make sure the commissioners are in agreement we should do it at all, and we're not just like on a train that's down the track.
You know, that is a good question, and I'm trying to read this audience here and not... I felt that the perception was let's do it, but let's actually ask. If you had a choice, do it over the Labor Day at one of those days or not, how do you weigh in on that? Josh, what would you say?
It's only fair you ask me since I asked the question. I really would like to celebrate the end of the pandemic, but I also don't want to be caught celebrating before it's really over. And so I either think I would say no, let's not do it, or I would kick it back to staff and say, hold the date, but don't, I don't know, at least maybe you already said 3 times at the beginning that you have to make a decision tomorrow, but if there is some ability to hold the date, but not make a final decision,
well, you
I
could,
guess I would do that. But.
You could hold the date, but you pay the whole fee, so we have to tell them now we only lose half the fee. If we hold the date until, say, the week before, a month before, we have to pay the full fee. So it's really what you guys want to do.
Whether we do it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're saving half the fee by making a decision now, which is substantial. We could put it towards next year's. So.
Okay. I think I know what you said, Josh, because I'm used to you now, and I think I know what you said. So, Dudley, what would you think?
Oh, I am very much on the fence on this. I see some very, very strong arguments for sliding it off until next year. Also, as an alternative to do something this year that might not be as ambitious as we think. It's a tough one for me, but I'd like to do it. I certainly won't be heartbroken if we let it slide.
Okay, so I'm going to say you fell off the fence on the yes, and Josh kind of is tipping off the fence on the no. I'm going to say no. Michael, I'm going to guess you're going to say yes, even if it were Friday. Is that right?
I think vaccines should be opening up to everybody who wants it. There's a lot of evidence there's going to be a glut of vaccines in the U.S. starting in sort of May, June. So I do think July 4th is probably, I'm a little wishy-washy even on July 4th, I'll tell you. But in September, I'm not wishy-washy at all. I think we can do it, and if people feel uncomfortable at that point, they can stay home. Just like, you know, we do it at home schools. I've got kids in central school because I feel comfortable with it. But there are people that have the option to not go to central school and do e-learning because they feel comfortable with it. So I think we can go for it.
Okay, even if it's Friday, because Friday is kind of a consensus.
I will strongly advocate again for Sunday, because I do think that, you know, three of you without younger kids may not have that perspective, so I will advocate for Sunday. But even if it's Friday, I think it's a good thing for the town to celebrate.
For what it's worth, Michael, I raised three kids in Glencoe, and believe it or not, it's a memory that just stays fresh. My kids loved staying up late if they had a chance. And if it was go to fireworks, they'd be happy to go, and we all had a great time. But that's just me.
We've never had fireworks on a school day, ever.
And nor will you this time, because Friday is not a school day, correct?
No, Friday's a school day.
They go, I thought we established they go back after the four-day holiday. No? It's camp or school?
Friday is a school day. The following Tuesday is another holiday.
So
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
All right.
We have never had fireworks on a school day in London.
Okay, so Lisa, if I looked at this really the way I look, see it, I sort of see two no and two yes, but Stephanie, I believe, is advocating for doing fireworks. She is not really part of this discussion, but I believe she was happy with doing fireworks on Friday, doing it a little less expensively, but doing it anyway. So I believe, and correct me if I'm incorrect here, we are saying yes to fireworks on the Labor Day general holiday, but on Friday, close the beach, do not get the barge. That's it.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yes.
So Bobby, if we were to have the barge, or Lisa, if we were to have the barge, does the beach provide more square footage, or does the lakefront provide more square footage? So for people to watch, like, which one is a better experience to have to spread out? Is it fireworks?
Hold please, I can see Chris going really fast to GIS, and he'll get you that number. I saw him going right away. He'll figure it out for us. You have to remember that on Lakefront you can go all the way into the street too. So
absolutely. But also, if you have it on the barge, you've got both the beach and the lakefront. If you have it on the beach, you only have lakefront in the street. So
correct. Usually, if just to be honest, because I was there the last year we did it on the barge, it was my first year here, and they moved the barge further out. I don't think you could have seen them at Lakefront Park, because the barge now requires to go further out than it was prior to that year. Because people, I remember people saying, well, why do they look so small? It's because they have to go out that far now. So I don't think you would see them lakefront, to be honest with you. But I could be wrong. Maybe a little bit.
Drum roll, please.
Okay.
Lakefront Park is 252,000 square feet, which is 5.8 acres. Glencoe Beach is approximately 95,000 square feet, which is 2.9 acres. So basically not more space. And that's including Park Avenue, Hazel Avenue, and...
I would still push for Sunday.
Okay, I hear you, Michael, and I appreciate you advocating for what you would like to see. But we have to come to some decision here, and unless people are changing their minds, I think we're weighing in on the Friday. Unless staff has some opinions that would benefit this discussion. I'm guessing you don't. You'll do whatever we say, but...
Yep, it's totally up. It's totally up to you. Friday, I mean, I think I'm concerned just closing the beach on Sunday, since we promised that season pass holders have access to the beach on holidays. So we would, if we did it Sunday, I would say we'd have to do the barge. So that's what I would say on that subject. That's about it.
Okay. Any other comments? Everybody satisfied with this, or bummed out, or what's? Everyone's okay?
Look, I'm not bummed out for the fireworks, though. I think Friday is, you know.
We think we'll be able to shoot them off by 8 o'clock, so that helps. So, kids will be, everybody will be home by 9, so.
Okay, then, on to.
That's going to be awesome, by the way, guys.
I'm glad you're on board now, John.
Okay.
I just want to celebrate the end of this.
Me too.
Oh my God! Don't
amen to that.
Through. Oh my goodness.
All right.
I agree. And you know, it's so interesting, Josh. We discussed this initially months ago. I thought Labor Day would be like such a celebratory time. The start of the fall would be, as we march. You know, I'm losing a little bit of my confidence, but you know, it certainly will be better than it is today. So
I think it's I think it's worth the risk. To schedule that day.
The board
airline bookings are looking, Labor Day should be pretty good.
Well, there you go. Okay. The board will now enter into closed session where no action will be taken. I entertain a motion that pursuant to Section 5 ILCS 120/2 of the Open Meetings Act, the board will enter a closed session to discuss real estate as mandated by Section 2.06 ILCS 120/2C5. Those present during executive session will include all commissioners except Commissioner Boren, Lisa Shepherd, and Chris Liner. Can someone move that?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Okay. Lisa Shepherd, note the time and do a roll call vote, please.
All right. 8:01. Member Kobe?
Yes.
Member Ludden?
Yes.
Member Underdunk?
Yes.
Chair Brooks?
Yes. Yes. Motion passes.
All right, cool. We're good.
At some point there.
What's that, Michael?
I think it's pretty cool. There used to be an underpass there. I wonder if the cavity is still there on the road.
I've been in that underpass. I've used it before many times. Okay, I entertain a motion to return to open session.
So moved.
Discussion? Lisa Shepherd, note the time and do a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yeah.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks? And it's 8:21.
Okay. And now I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Move second. I know, so many.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Covey?
Absolutely.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Nice job.
Everyone.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you all. Thanks. See you in a couple weeks.
Good night, everyone.
All right, good night.
Thank you all.
Lisa, I'm actually going to be...